produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today. Normal director board members in Colorado to promote depenalization initiative. Normal executive director Alan St. Pierre, along with Normal advisory board member Norm Stamper, former chief of police in Seattle, Washington, and Normal board member George Raubacher, former Washington State Senator, will be speaking tonight in Denver and holding a press conference tomorrow in support of Amendment 44, the Alcohol Marijuana Equalization Initiative. They will be joined by Colorado Representative Gary Lindstrom, University of Colorado at Colorado Springs Biology Professor Robert Malamede, Safer, Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation Campaign Director Mason Tevert, and Normal Legal Committee member Geraldine Merritt. Representatives from Normal and Safer will also be hosting a campaign fundraiser for Amendment 44 on Friday night at the Wynkoop Brewing Company in downtown Denver. Amendment 44 would revise state statutes to make the possession of up to 1 ounce of cannabis legal in Colorado for anyone age 21 or older. Last year, voters in Denver passed a similar municipal initiative by 54%. For more information on these events, please contact Normal Legal Counsel Keith Strupp and visit norml.org or saferchoice.org.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. First up today, if you get a chance to go to Denver or Colorado Springs and hear the Normal, Leap, and Safer panels, you'll hear Dr. Robert Malamede. Dr. Robert Malamede is one of the world's top cannabinoid researchers, and his groundbreaking work is helping us understand the function and importance of the endogenous cannabinoid system and our built-in cannabinoid receptors. He's professor of biology at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. And you can hear Dr. Bob tonight and tomorrow during panel discussions at the University of Denver. These events are free, and we'll present an extended interview with Dr. Malamede in next Tuesday's Audio Stash. Here's a sample of what you might hear tonight if you attend in Denver. Dr. Robert Malamede, thanks again for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Amendment 44 in Colorado is based in the reality that marijuana is safer than alcohol. And in the medical and scientific community, the high of marijuana, called the euphoria effect by scientists, is viewed negatively. But is it bad to have something that works well as a medicine that also makes us feel good?
Well, let's try and look at what does it mean to be euphoric? What does it mean to feel good? Isn't that what we kind of really try to do? You know, in your normal life, if you're fortunate enough to be a healthy, happy individual with good support structure and families and education and, you know, all of the things that we value in life, you kind of are high naturally. Well, the cannabinoid system is involved in that process. That's why it has important antidepressive effects. That's why it's involved in making people optimistic. And it's just amazing how it's been demonized. And that's why in a recent article that I published tries to address that kind of paradox. How is it that we have something that seems so good, and yet for so many years we've been told it's so bad? And the conclusion I've come to, and I think it's a very logical conclusion, and has not been really evaluated and tested, but I think it just makes a lot of sense, that we are going to have people in the world who are more euphoric than others. It's just natural. You know, you have an average, and you have people above and below the average. And part of that euphoria is going to be attributable to their cannabinoid system, and these people are going to be happy and optimistic, and they're going to look forward to the future. And in contrast, people who are deficient in the cannabinoid system, at least with respect to different areas in the brain, because you could be deficient in one area and not in another, but you're going to have people out there who are going to be uptight and depressive and unable to readjust to new information and learn new things, all of the things that the cannabinoid system controls. So it's my contention that cannabinoid-deficient people, because they tend to look backwards, because the future holds unknowns and they have difficulty learning, relearning, and adjusting, they're going to tend to look backwards. And people who tend to look backwards look at what's already occurred, therefore they tend to agree with one another. I believe, therefore, they get into power and wind up collecting in the government. So I think we're really involved right now in a very critical genetic battle between cannabinoid-deficient people who are making laws against cannabis and people who are out here using it and who are using it to their benefit. You know, the whole stereotype of people, you know, sitting in their cellar and doing nothing, that's not true. It's people, all sorts of successful people at all levels of our society are using it in a constructive, positive manner, including Nobel Prize winners. So, you know, the government is just so off base, and I think they're off base because they can't help it. They're just broken. I call them the primitive people.
That was Dr. Robert Malamud, one of the world's top cannabinoid researchers. You can hear him free during a normal panel tonight at the University of Denver. Dr. Malamud is professor of biology at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs, and we have links to his homepage at normalaudios-com. We'll have an extended interview with Dr. Bob about the endogenous cannabinoid system in Tuesday's Audio Stash. Next up in the Audio Stash today is our exclusive segment, Initiative Watch. We're following all of the local initiatives being voted upon around the country. Find out more at normalaudios-com and click the Smoke the Vote icon and make sure you get involved with America. Welcome to another segment of our Audio Stash special, Initiative Watch. Today in our Initiative Watch segment, we're covering three of the city deprioritization ordinances up for a vote next week in California. While Proposition 215 and SB 420 allow medical marijuana patients across the state of California to find relief through cannabis, making marijuana enforcement the lowest priority for local law enforcement agencies protects all responsible adult marijuana smokers from needless harassment while allowing the police greater availability to protect their community. First up today, we'll speak with Nikki LaRosa, campaign coordinator for Measure Y in Santa Monica. While many around the country may consider some of these cities to be models of progressive reform, cities like Santa Monica are still arresting hundreds of peaceful marijuana smokers and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars doing it. Nikki, thanks for joining us today from Santa Monica.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Nikki, first, how many pot smokers are being arrested in Santa Monica?
Yes. About, we have 293 from 2004 reported arrests. And that includes misdemeanors and higher charges as well.
And that number is almost 10 times the amount of marijuana smokers arrested in the city of Seattle with millions of residents. Santa Monica is quite smaller.
It's its own its own city right next to LA, you know. So, and it has its very own politics and very much perceived as a progressive city, and we are hoping that that is how they vote.
And Nikki, Measure Y there in Santa Monica has seen a broad base of support in endorsements you've received.
Yes, Mothers for Justice is a local group there, and we're very happy to have their endorsement, as well as the Santa Monica Democratic Club. We're very, very happy to have their well, Progressive Jewish Alliance. It has been somewhat of a challenge to have organizations step forward, and it's just wonderful to see that some of these are willing to step forward and not just say they'll vote for it, but also endorse it, because my experience has been a lot of support kind of underground, but not necessarily wanting to step out and be vocal about it, because there's so much going on this election season in Santa Monica with the new city council members, things like that. So we're very grateful to have these organizations understand and support.
And should voters pass Measure Y on November 7th, how will it work in the community?
Yes, the way it's written is that the city council actually works together to supervise. They create the documentation with the police on the reporting measures. So it's actually very streamlined for them. They can make it as simple or as complicated as they would like, but just something that would document when the ordinance was broken. And, you know, our hope and what, you know, the intention behind the initiative is that they don't even have to go there, because if they are adhering to the initiative, the arrests will be reduced, and it will reduce the paperwork and the clogging up of our criminal justice system on many levels, not to mention not having to report it, not having to say why they violated the ordinance. If they adhere to it, then we've eliminated a lot of bureaucracy.
Now, while there's been a lot of action and reform for medical marijuana in California, this ordinance really isn't necessarily for patients.
Honestly, I've spoken to a handful of medical marijuana patients during this campaign process that reside in Santa Monica, and though they don't get their medicine from Santa Monica because they don't have dispensaries there, they have indicated that the police have been okay with them, that there haven't been these attacks specifically on medical marijuana patients. We're not saying that the police are doing that. So I would say it goes another step further. As medical marijuana patients are protected under 215, this initiative will broaden the protection for other responsible adult users in the privacy of their own home.
So with a shining example in the city of Seattle, these local deprioritization ordinances are really the next step for marijuana law reform in California.
Yes, absolutely. You know, first and foremost, we want to free up those police resources and focus them on crimes that require far more attention. The act of arresting somebody for personal use marijuana does nothing to actually curb usage. It just creates more bureaucracy and clogs up the criminal justice system. Our prisons are overcrowded in California. It's absurd to, you know, arrest anybody on a charge of marijuana. You know, our ordinance, again, though, it does not cover driving under the influence or smoking in public, but still to reduce those instances of when, you know, maybe there's a call that there's someone smells smoke in an apartment building and is complaining about it, that if, you know, the officer shows up and it's not, and it's just an adult in their own home, and then they don't have the probable cause to go in anymore and snoop around or, you know, use that to go after otherwise nonviolent criminals. And we see that as a very good thing. You know, the resources should be focused on, you know, rapes, robberies, car thefts. I mean, there's outrageous amounts of that going on in all cities, to be fair, not just Santa Monica, with a very low rate of clearances or crimes solved. I have some statistics from the Department of Justice that are kind of staggering. And I think, you know, it would really help the police officers do their job better to not have to focus on these low-priority crimes.
So, Nikki, it sounds like Measure Y is really less about pot liberalization and more about liberating the local police, freeing them up to do their essential job of protecting community from violent crime.
Absolutely. And, of course, there's the civil liberties aspect of this that comes into play whenever, you know, issues of the drug war are brought up. And you know, during our polling, 81% of the Santa Monicans polled agreed that the federal government's war on drugs has failed. So this, it's a broad, you know, this is a small targeted way to send a message about how the community feels about the larger implications of a drug war, a war on our people.
Nikki LaRosa is campaign coordinator at Sensible Santa Monica for Measure Y. Nikki, thanks for joining us today here on the Audio Stash.
Thank you, Chris. It was my absolute pleasure.
Santa Monica residents can learn more about Measure Y at SensibleSantaMonica.org. Next in our continuing coverage of the California deprioritization ordinances, we'll travel north along the coast and speak next with Laura Castle, campaign coordinator for Measure P in Santa Barbara, California. Laura, welcome to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to speak with you today, Laura. On your website, SensibleSantaBarbara.org, I'm seeing this polling data showing overwhelming support for marijuana reform in that community. You know, what makes Santa Barbara unique that it offers such broad-based support?
Well, I think that Santa Barbara has somewhat of a history of being a progressive city. I think that people realize that arresting and prosecuting otherwise law-abiding citizens just really isn't in line with their goals and values for the city. There's been a lot of cutbacks for the police department here, and subsequently the serious and violent crime rates in the city have swelled. And so people are seeing that they'd rather their police force and their taxpayer dollars be used to focus on the serious and violent crimes.
And Measure P there in Santa Barbara also has the support of Doss Williams, a local city councilor, and a number of groups, including the California Nurses Association.
Yeah, we were actually very happy to get that endorsement, obviously. And the California Nurses Association actually did apply all three measures in California, which is fabulous. So they're supporting Santa Cruz and Santa Monica as well. And we also actually have the support of both local papers now, both the Santa Barbara Independent and the Santa Barbara News Press.
And Laura, all of these initiatives require a signature-gathering petition process to get them on the ballot in California. What was that process like for Measure P?
My experience, you know, I was very active in gathering the signatures to actually get on the ballot. And, you know, when you stand out in the streets, you know, all day talking to people saying, hey, you want to sign this petition, you really kind of get a feel for what the population wants, which is why I was so happy to be working on Measure P, because 4 out of 5 times when you stop someone, all they'd say is, wow, this is great, where do I sign? So that was a really good sign that the community wanted Measure P.
And what do the supporters of Measure P in Santa Barbara hope will be the effect if this is passed?
The supporters are just hoping that the police force will focus their time and resources on serious and violent crimes. Some statistics that were actually provided by the Police Officers Association themselves. In the past 4 years, attempted rape has increased 66%. Child abuse has increased 57%. Home burglaries have increased an astounding 109%. And simultaneously, we have statistics from the California Department of Justice saying that very few of these reported crimes are actually even solved. So, for instance, only 17 out of 76 robberies were solved, only 6 out of 31 forcible rapes were solved, and that's only in the past year. And the end cost to the community is in the millions. I mean, it's $3.6 million in 2005 alone from crimes costing Santa Barbarans. So the community is hoping that the police force, like I said, will utilize their resources and work to combat these serious crimes that are going on in the community that truly affect the quality of life.
And finally, how about that college community there in Santa Barbara? Have they been part of this support?
Well, actually, it's interesting because we do have a lot of college students who are active on the campaign. For instance, the chair of Sensible Santa Barbara, a gentleman by the name of Ethan Kravitz, he is a senior at UCSB, and he kind of started out the whole campaign. But interestingly enough, the university is not on the property of the city of Santa Barbara. So all those students aren't even involved in voting on the measure, which, you know, truly shows also, I mean, in a way it helps us because it shows this isn't a measure that's just being voted on by college kids. You know, it's broad segments of the population. It's mothers, fathers, lawyers, doctors, everybody.
Laura, thanks again for joining us here today on the Audio Stash.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. Please, and vote yes on Measure P.
Laura Castle is the campaign coordinator for Measure P, a marijuana deprioritization ordinance in Santa Barbara, California. You can find out more at sensiblesantabarbara.org. Our last stop for the audio stash in California today is the beautiful city of Santa Cruz. Measure K goes before voters there on November 7th, and if passed, this initiative has a couple of very unique aspects to it. Joining us to discuss Measure K is Kate Horner, the campaign coordinator at Sensible Santa Cruz. Kate, welcome to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks again for joining us. Kate, if Measure K is passed by voters, how will it work in Santa Cruz?
Well, basically what it would do is it would require that marijuana offenses, all marijuana offenses, would become the lowest law enforcement priority for the entire city police department. It would go into effect immediately. It would then be monitored by a voluntary oversight committee similar to that of Seattle and Oakland. And then the last thing that it would do is it would request of the city clerk to send letters annually to our state and federal elected officials, putting the city of Santa Cruz on record as supporting reform of marijuana law.
So if passed by Santa Cruz residents on November 7th, this will really push for further reform statewide.
That's correct. It's really recognizing that the federal war on drugs has failed and that we need to start taking a more sensible approach to marijuana policy that will use our tax dollars in a more efficient manner.
Kate, one of the groups endorsing Measure K in Santa Cruz really stuck out, and that's the local auto workers union, UAW 2865.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. It's been a pleasure to be out in the community to see the broad support, and really across the age spectrum as well, from young students all the way up to, you know, 85-year-old women who've seen the full gamut. We were pleased to have the endorsements of the local Democratic Party, the California Nurses Association. A bunch of local elected officials and community leaders have gotten on board, as well as numerous other health officials. So it's been really exciting to see that there's a sense in the community that the war on drugs has failed and we need to look at different ways to go about doing things.
Let's talk more about the oversight committee built into Measure K. First, who's on the committee and how does it work?
Our oversight committee will be staffed by volunteer city residents that will be appointed by the city council. They'll also have representation from the city attorney's office as well as a spokesperson from the police department. And really the function of the oversight committee is to, you know, provide the measure with some teeth. It's being able to hold the police accountable for the measures that the community will hopefully pass in November. And what they will do is, when police officers, if they continue to make marijuana arrests, there are certain exemptions to the policy, including marijuana offenses in public among minors and driving under the influence. And if police officers continue to make marijuana arrests, they'll be asked to fill out an additional very simple one-page report that the oversight committee will review to ensure compliance with the measure. And that's really all it is just someone having a look through what's been done, what are the changes being made, so that the measure is implemented properly.
And how have the local law enforcement reacted to Measure K?
Well, one of the common criticisms is that it's already a low priority, and that they think that it's unnecessary. But we really feel that if they truly believe that it's a low priority already, then there really should be no problem with putting it into words and implementing an actual policy. So I think that that's one of the few concerns that I've heard, is that there's no need for it, but we just want to make sure that it's clear to the community, to the police, and to our federal government that this is what Santa Cruz believes. These are our priorities, and we think that state and federal government should make moves towards reforming at the larger government levels.
Well, they say it's already a low priority, but over 250 marijuana smokers were arrested last year in Santa Cruz. And that's almost 10 times the number of marijuana smokers arrested in Seattle last year, a city that is significantly larger.
That's correct. They've seen it drop even this year. They're only at like 40 this year, and it's been really exciting to see how even opponents like the city attorney Tom Carr in Seattle is on record as saying that the measure is working very well in Seattle and appears to be doing everything that it's intended to do. So we hope that the measure will pass and that even the opponents will recognize that it's a very common sense and actually quite modest measure to start looking at marijuana reform.
That was Kate Horner, campaign coordinator from Measure K in Santa Cruz. Find out more about the initiative at sensiblesantacruz.org. And as always, Normal encourages all Americans to participate in our country. These activists have gathered tens of thousands of signatures between them and spent thousands of hours to give us the chance to vote. If you're lucky enough to live in an area that has a local initiative to vote on, make sure you make an appearance at your local polling place to cast your vote. We have links to all the initiatives around the country at normalaudiostash.com. This has been Initiative Watch, an Audio Stash special. Stay tuned this week and next week. We'll be featuring Nevada's Question 7 and also speak with Doss Williams, a city councilor in Santa Barbara, California. Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.